with you tonight. 1 week ago at this time, we were on our way back from India. We were traveling about 2.5 days, and we arrived in Sunday night to Kennedy Airport. What a place to come in this past Sunday night. We were just coming in from the heat of India. They were coming out of their winter season into their starting to get warm, but for us it was hot. We got sunburned and everything. And came into Kennedy Airport. We were one of the earlier flights to actually be let in. We didn't have winter coats, winter clothes with us. And we got in to find out after basically 2.5 days of travel, including a 14-hour train ride, 6 of us in a fairly small compartment with no air conditioning. That was just one of the little rides. And a few long flights and a short flight. And got into Kennedy and found out that our flight back into Maryland was canceled, as were all the other flights. And the thing that seemed to be the best alternative was to rent a van. There were 5 of us, and a few had to go back that same night. Rent a van and drive back. The only problem with renting a van is we had to go outside to get the van. And as far as I can remember, it's the coldest cold that I ever experienced in my life this past Sunday. And we didn't take long to get to the rental place, but to get back into Kennedy took forever. To get out of Kennedy took even longer. And we had the pleasure of driving home, arriving back in Maryland past 4 in the morning. But we're here, thank God. And we were with you. I was in Maryland yesterday afternoon, but we had the pleasure of being on the airwaves in the area here. Any of you folks get to listen to the show yesterday on MCA? A few of you, good. I don't know if you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I told them in advance, I said, listen, I don't mind controversial calls. I don't mind hostile calls. At one point, I was wondering about the wisdom of that, but I thought it was just a great opportunity. And boy, there's quite a diverse listening audience out there. I was really amazed at the variety of calls that came in. But we're here for a purpose. We're not just here to have fun or entertain, but we're really here for a divine purpose. And if you're a Jew or Gentile, if you're a Christian or non-Christian, I really have something on my heart for you from the Lord, from the Scriptures. And I want to speak to everyone that's here tonight. If you're not here, I can't speak to you directly, but after this message is over, the things that we share tonight might be something that you want to then share with others. So through this tape that'll come out from tonight, you may end up sharing it with others. I may end up speaking to those that aren't here physically. But the primary goal, the reason we're here, is for those of you that have come. And if you already consider yourself a follower of Jesus, you need to hear this tonight. And if this is new to you, if you're a Jewish person raised not believing in Jesus the Messiah, or if you're from a different Gentile background, you need to hear this tonight. None of you are here just to be here. It's a cold night. Some of you have traveled the distance. We've come in from another state. So we're here for a purpose, and I really believe that God can change your heart. He can change your thinking. He can change your direction tonight. So I want you to hear me out with an open heart. I want you to allow God to speak to you through me. If what I have to say is from Him, then you need to hear it, and He will give you the grace to put it into practice. Let's pray and ask Him to speak to each and every heart here, all right? Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, the Messiah, Jesus. Lord, not because of works of righteousness that we've done, not because we're better than anyone, but because you have opened the door. You have reached out your hand and you have said, come. So we come to you, Father, and we pray, Lord God, that you would speak to everyone here. Lord, you have a purpose. You have a plan. You are the only true God. There is only one way to know you and serve you, and yet so many people go their own way, Lord. So many people perish. So many people destroy themselves. So many people search for truth until the day they die and never find it. I pray that you might reveal yourself tonight. You said in your word, seek me while I may be found. Call upon me while I'm near. I pray that tonight you might be near to all those that call upon you. That you would open the heart of Gentile and Jew alike, that you would bring your transforming word into every single heart. Father, send your Spirit from heaven now to speak and act and work and move. May these not be human words that are spoken tonight, but heavenly words with heavenly impact. And I thank you for hearing us. In the name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight about God's purpose for the Jewish people. God's purpose for the Jewish people. This past Tuesday, I turned 38 years old, but I didn't choose to be born any more than you chose to be born. And I didn't choose to be born of Jewish parents any more than you chose to be born of your parents. You didn't choose to be black or white. You didn't choose to be Asian or American. You didn't choose to be Jew or Gentile. We didn't ask to be born. But God, in His plan and His fixed purpose, has brought us into this world. And He's brought us in, Jew or Gentile, black or white. He's brought us into all these different parts of the world, not by our choice, but by His choice. And He has a plan. God Almighty has a purpose. And you being here tonight and me being here tonight is all in His divine purpose. Now, in a little while, I want to tell you how I know that God has chosen out the Jewish people. Not that the Jew is better or worse than anybody, but that the Jew has a different history and a different future than the other nations. I'm going to tell you how I know that in a little while. But first, I want to tell you what the Bible, what God's Word, what the Hebrew Scriptures say about Israel. Now, you may know this, but I want you to hear it afresh. Or this may be totally new to you. This may not be the way that you think. If it's not the way you think, I have an honest question for you. Who says you're right? When we disagree with someone, our first reaction is, they're wrong, I'm right. Who says? I want to tell you what God says through His Scriptures. In fact, I'll read these to you from the Hebrew Bible. I'll translate them into English, just so you can hear this directly, accurately. But when God chose our forefather, Abram, this is what He said to him. Famous words. I'm going to read to you a few Scriptures. First, from Genesis 12. God said in verse 1, V'yomar Adonai el Avram, God said, the Lord said to Abram, Lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladcha mibeit avicha. Go out from your land and your birthplace and your father's house, el ha'artz asher arecha, to the land that I'll show you. Ve'eschal legoy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation. Ba'varechecha, ba'gadla shemecha, ve'heye bracha, I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. Ba'varecha, ve'varechecha, mekalelcha, o'or, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. V'nivrechu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'adama. And all the families in the earth will be blessed through you. This is something from the very beginning. When God singled out Abram, changed his name to Abraham, then singled out his son Isaac, then singled out Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel, there was a divine purpose. It was God's purpose that all the families of the earth would be blessed through the chosen seed of Abraham, through the people of Israel. That was God's purpose. It was God's intent not to cast off this world, not to look the other way, not to abandon people in their selfishness, in their sin, in their immorality, but rather to bring them back to Himself. But He had to have a people. He had to have a vehicle. How was He going to do it? He chose out one man and this man's descendants, and said, through your seed, all the families in the earth will be blessed. The people in China, and the people in India, and the people in Africa, North America, South America, all the continents of the world, they'll be blessed through your seed. And then, in the book of Exodus, immediately before God gave His Torah, His law and instruction to the people of Israel, this is what He said. He brought our forefathers out of Egypt. He brought them to the mountain. And now He's going to speak to them. Why? Why did God give Israel a law? Why did God single them out? Why did He cause them and call them to live differently than everybody else on the earth? Listen to what it says. Exodus 19. This is part of the Torah. These words are read every year in the synagogue. Many religious Jews around the world know these words by heart and have recited them through the centuries. But somehow, we haven't always taken hold of what they mean. These are God's words to Israel. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. V'atam shamoa tishma'u b'koli. And now if you obey me fully, v'shmartem et briti, and you observe my covenant, Bitem lisgula, mikol ha'amim, kili, kol ha'aretz. You will be to me a treasured possession. God said to Israel, you'll be a treasured possession to me from all the earth. The whole earth is mine. And you'll be a treasured possession from all the peoples. And then he says, va'atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. And you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now what does a priest do? A priest is supposed to be set apart to God. A priest is one, whether you think of a Catholic priest, or you think of a Hindu priest, or some other religious priest, or a priest in Israel, what were they supposed to do? Well, the people would go about their business, but the priest had to be separated to God. And the priest would pray for the people. The priest would be an intermediary between God and man. And God called Israel to be a kingdom of priests. The people of Israel were to be separated, a holy nation, God said, and it was their purpose in God to be a kingdom of priests, to pray for the nations, to bring the nations of the world to God. Now if you go over to the book of the prophet Isaiah, one of the most influential prophets that ever lived, his words are known around the world. This is what the prophet Isaiah said was God's purpose for Israel. I read you from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. And I read these things directly out of the Hebrew Bible to remind you. This is not some later Christian interpretation or another religious view or opinion. This is what our own Hebrew scriptures say about God's purpose for us as Jews. When I say us, I'm speaking of myself and others here that are Jews. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. Ani Adonai kraticha v'tzedek. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. Va'achzek biyadecha, and I will take hold of your hand. V'tzarcha v'etnecha livrit am l'or goyim. And I'll form you and give you, I'll keep you and I'll give you for what? To be a covenant people, to be a light to the nations. A light to the goyim, to the nations. God called Israel to be a light to the nations. And one last verse from the Psalms. Everybody knows the Psalms of David. Psalm 105, verse 1. This is what it says from our Bible. Hodu l'Adonai, kir'u v'shmo, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim His name, hodi'u va'amim alilotav. Make known among the peoples His mighty acts. God wanted the Jewish people that knew the one true God, that didn't worship wood and rocks and stones and say, you are gods, that knew the one that created the universe, God wanted the Jewish people to declare among all the nations His mighty acts. Let the whole world know there's only one God. Let the whole world know the standards of this one God. Let the whole world know His goodness and His holiness. And introduce the whole world into the knowledge of God. That's why God singled out the Jewish people. And because God loved His people, He said, if you obey me, you'll be blessed. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be established in the land. You'll have peace all around you. You'll be special. You'll be protected. You'll be kept. But something went wrong somewhere. Somehow, for our people as a whole, this has not been our history. As we were coming back from India, we were in Amsterdam. It was going to be our last leg before coming back into the States. We had two flights in India. The second one landed us in Amsterdam. And now we were going to come back from Amsterdam to JFK and then from there back to Maryland. We were sitting in the airport in Amsterdam, and suddenly we saw something we didn't expect to see. Now, these kind of things happen to me with some degree of frequency, but still it was a little surprising. We're coming back from India. We had met people and spoken to people about the one true God, and some of these people actually did worship rocks and stones. Some of these people in India have among them, in their nation, as many as 30 million different so-called gods that they worship. We had gone from that environment, now we're in Amsterdam, and who comes walking into our gate about to get on our plane? But about 30 ultra-Orthodox Jews. We were sitting there, and it was quite a surprise. I mean, from India and driving down the roads with the ox carts on the sides of the roads, and you're wondering every second, are you going to collide with the truck coming your way, or with the ox cart on the side, or with the pig running in the front of the road? I mean, it was a wild experience. We go from there to the airport in Amsterdam, and here these ultra-Orthodox Jews come walking in, one after another. We were amazed. When we get on the plane, and I was talking to one fellow, one Christian man, and talking about God's purpose for the Jewish people and God's purpose for Israel, some of the very things I was just talking about. And there was one of these gentlemen standing behind me, just listening, didn't say anything, but listening, and I knew this was foreign to him. Well, we got on the plane, and I was sitting next to my wife, and we had our three other friends across the aisle, and some of these Jewish gentlemen had seats next to one another. But we noticed there was one fellow, a heavyset fellow, and he had a seat next to a woman who was obviously sitting next to her husband. And as an ultra-Orthodox Jew, he wouldn't want to sit next to a woman if he could avoid it. So my wife and I were watching, and we notice him speaking to the lady very politely, and she looks up a little confused. And then the husband looks up, and I could see he wasn't going to give in. And he asked, "Would you switch so I could..." No. No. He's standing there a little sheepish, not quite knowing what to do. So my dear wife got a brainstorm. She said, "Why don't I give him my seat?" So she gets over. She goes over to him and says, "Look, I'll take your seat here. You could sit next to my husband over there." So he was all happy about it and really thanked us and came and sat down. And he was a real nice guy. Belonged to the Satmar sect from Williamsburg, Brooklyn, originally from Hungary, their group. He was about 43 years old with 11 kids and said his family was still growing. A little bit heavy when he put the tray down. You know, on the airline, you put the tray down. It couldn't go down all the way because it hit his stomach first. I had my Hebrew Bible out. And he pulled out a book of Jewish law and noticed my Hebrew Bible and was happy to see it. We began talking. We had a real pleasant talk. When he finally found out who I was, what I believed, he just pleasantly said he didn't want to talk about that anymore. And we had to move over to another subject. But I asked him, "Let me show you something in the Torah. Let me show you something in the five books of Moses." And I went to the book of Genesis, and I read the very words to you that I read before, that through the seed of Abraham, God wanted all the families on the earth to be blessed. And I said to him, "Here's a man that studies day and night as much as he can. He's got a job, but as much as he can, he's studying on the plane, just studying, reading the whole time." And I said to him, "What about this? This is one of the first things he learned as a boy going through the five books of Moses. Probably 5 years old, he was already memorizing these things." And I said to him, "What about that? God's purpose for the Jewish people to be a light to the nations, to bring blessing to the entire world." And he said, "I don't know much about that." That was his entire answer. When I just tried to ask one more thing, he did not have a clue. It wasn't in his thinking. Something went wrong somewhere in our history. If you think for a minute, God's purpose for us was to be a blessed people. And yet we've suffered as a people more than any other people. This forum where I raised a question to him last summer, he said, "Like it or not, Israel is treated differently." He meant by the media. It's a fact. Well, like it or not, Israel and the Jewish people are different. We've been singled out. We've been singled out by God. We've been singled out by a diabolical spirit called Satan. And what I'm saying is not just for Jews. You'll see in a moment what I'm saying is for everybody to hear. But I want you to understand that the Jewish people are different. And if you're a Jew, you're different. Like it or not. Only our history, out of all nations and peoples on the earth, only our history was described in detail, in advance, and written in a book. Our purpose, what would happen to us, how we'd be divided, how we'd sin against God, how we'd be scattered among the nations, how we'd be persecuted, how we'd be abused, how we'd even be sold into slavery. All these things detailed, written out in the book, hundreds, even thousands of years in advance. And then how, scattered throughout the world and decimated in numbers, and after great suffering, God would bring us back
to our homeland and reconstitute us as a people, and the whole world would still turn against us and hate Jerusalem. All these things are written out in advance. I don't know if you've ever seen something, maybe a sports event or something like that, and you're watching it, and it's a videotape, or it's a tape delay, it's already happened, and you already know how it's going to end. You kind of root for your team, but if you know they already lost, you have this sinking feeling in your stomach. Well, in a sense, God sketched out the history of Israel, the Jewish people. There's something definite and planned about it, like it or not. And if you're a Jewish person, you have to say to yourself, boy, this is bigger than me. This is beyond me. Yes, you have a will. Yes, you make choices. Yes, you're accountable to God for what you do or don't do. But yet there's another purpose where there's a destiny and there's a day of accounting, like it or not, where God's going to judge you based on what He planned out for you in advance. Now, again, you may not like it. Ultimately, it's the best thing that ever could have happened to you. You may not like it, but you can't change it. Our history and destiny are described in advance. But not only that, there is the daily proof that there's something different about the Jew. Now hear me. If there's one word that stirs emotions, that stirs hatred, misunderstanding, or that's a hot word around the world, it's the word Jew. There was a king of Prussia several generations ago, and he asked someone in his court, give me a one-word proof that God exists. And he said, that one word, sir, is the Jew. Something different, something unusual about this people that tells you there's something going on behind the scenes. Why is it that the Jews have been driven out, persecuted, abused in virtually every single country where they've ever lived? Why? Why is it that to this day, Jews are blamed for the economic troubles in Russia, the economic troubles in Japan? Why is it that there's literature written in the United States that the problem in America is the Jew? Why always the Jew? You know, King Faisal of Saudi Arabia was explaining to someone how communism in Russia was a Jewish conspiracy. And someone said to him, wait a second, communism is Zionism's worst enemy. How could it be? And King Faisal said, it's all one great master plan. In other words, the Jews are butchering each other and persecuting each other. It's all one great master plan. Why is it? I've asked this question before, but you've got to think about it. Why is it that Jewish cemeteries get desecrated around the world? What is it? What is it that people have done in their graves that causes people to come and vandalize and destroy? Why is it that people with one breath can say the Holocaust never happened? That's a Jewish lie. That's Jewish propaganda. The Holocaust never happened. And then in the next breath say, let's finish what Hitler couldn't finish and let's kill all the Jews. Why? Why the Jews? Why is it that you have white supremacists that hate the guts of black militants, and black militants that despise the guts of white supremacists, but they both admire Hitler and they both hate Jews? Why is it Muslim fundamentalists in the Middle East who will go into Africa and kidnap blacks as their slaves totally agree with those same people in hating the Jew? Why? Why the Jew? I could go on with example after example after example. I read something recently, excerpt of something that was published in Turkey, that described the world conspiracy of Jews and Masons to dominate the entire world. And it gave a list of different clubs and associations. Apparently, they got the word club mixed up in English. Because I actually saw pictures of it with the English translation next to some of the pages. They gave a list of some of these involved in the world conspiracy. You had the Jews on top, and then the Masons, and then these various clubs, the Rotary Club and others, culminating with, yes, Diners Club. Well, one of the most famous forged books, still circulating, sold on streets of New York, as one of the callers observed on the radio show yesterday. Selling greatly in certain third world countries, in the Muslim world, great big seller still in communist nations. Protocols of the Elders of Zion. It gives you the secret transcript of a Jewish Congress where these 300 secret Jewish leaders, and they're alive in every generation somehow. There is always this group. From one generation to another, the people may change, but it's always the same. 300 Jewish leaders that are waiting for the right moment when they will take over the world. And you know the end of it. They will then bring the entire world into subjection to the Hindu god Vishnu. These things are believed by people in this city today. It would not surprise me if some of the people involved in the bombing of the World Trade Center believe that very thing is true. Now, it's just got to tell you something. It's got to tell you something. I'm not saying Jews are perfect. I'm not saying Jews don't deserve certain criticism. I'm not saying that at all. But why always the Jew? It's got to make you understand there's something going on here. It was God's purpose for the Jews to bless the entire world. In fact, the entire world was supposed to bless themselves, saying, "May God make us like the people of Israel." Instead of the Jewish people and the people of Israel being one of the great and wonderful words on people's lips, instead, it's become a curse word, a negative thing. Around the world, Jews are afraid to be recognized as Jews because they'll be singled out for persecution. And to this day, there's one city that the whole world feels they can rule over, or they can give their opinions about. It's the city of Jerusalem. There is one capital city in the entire world that is not recognized by virtually all the nations as a capital. Which city? Jerusalem. Israel expels 400 terrorists and people go crazy. Kuwait expels 300,000 Palestinians. Nobody says a word. One professor made the point, Iraq uses nerve gas and kills their own people. Nobody knows about it. Israel uses tear gas and the world's in an uproar. It should clue you in. Something is different. Like I said, our history has been written out in advance. And there's something about the Jew that's different. But here's the problem. It was God's purpose to bless the Jewish people and to make us a blessing to the world. Instead, we've suffered. Something went wrong somewhere. When you read God's purposes for Abram and the people of Israel, when you read His promises in the Torah, and I'll make you a great nation, and I'll prosper you, and I'll keep you, and I'll cause your enemies to flee before you. And then you read our history, and you read the Holocaust accounts, and the butchering of the past, and all the pogroms, and all, you read all this, and you say, what happened? Why? This is not the blessing that was described, but this is the curse. God said, if you obey me, you'll be blessed. If you disobey, you'll be cursed. You read our history, it has not been the history of a blessed people, but the history of a cursed people. Something went wrong, terribly, somewhere. And I want you to understand what went wrong, but then I want you to see what went right. It may be the first time, tonight may be the very first time you understand how God has used the Jewish people to be a light to the world, and yet how miserably we've also failed. But what happened? Let me review history for a minute. You may say, hey, I'm not Jewish, I didn't do any of these things. But what if I said that the Jew was the best of the bunch? Then what? In other words, if the Jewish people, who had all the light and all the blessing and all the law and all the promises, and were loved by God, if they could sin like this, what about everybody else?
This is the end of side one. You may now turn the tape over to side two.
But go back to our history. God gave our people the law. I mean, think of it. Maybe you saw the movie Ten Commandments. The movie was nothing. In fact, the last time I saw the movie with our family, we got the video. It was kind of stupid, actually. But the actual thing in the Bible is awesome. God comes down and takes a people out of another people with plagues and signs and wonders, brings them through the sea, and then speaks so the whole nation could hear. Think of it. The mountains on fire and thunder and lightning, and God Almighty speaks, and hundreds of thousands of people all hear His voice at the same time. And the very first command He gives, I'm the Lord your God who took you the land of Egypt out of the house of bondage. Have no other gods before me. And then He says, don't make for yourself an idol. The very first thing He said, don't make for yourself an idol. Don't worship any other god. And within days of God speaking that to our forefathers, we went and made an idol. God said, this law, this Torah, this will be life for you. Instead, 3,000 people were killed immediately. God said, look, you obey me, I'm going to bring you into the land of promise. I'm going to bring you into the land of Canaan. You've heard the expression, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's where it comes from the Scriptures. And what happens? The entire generation, think of it, outside of two people, one entire generation dropped in the wilderness. Everyone died. Why? Because we disobeyed God. The very first king that our nation had sinned against God and died, rejected by God, killed by his enemies on the battlefield. Two kings after that, a man, now look, this sounds also too hard to believe, but you're talking about a man who had 300 wives and 700 concubines and worshipped other gods. This was one of our greatest kings. And then next, our nation is divided. You look at the Civil War here in America, we had something worse in ancient Israel. You look at the former Soviet Union, how it's splintering. We had something worse in Israel. The nation was split and severed, and to this day has not been fully reunited. And God sent His prophets. How many? 1, 2, 10, 100, 1,000? One after another, after another, after another, after another. Turn away from your sins. Don't worship other gods. Don't commit adultery. Don't oppress the poor. Don't be like the other nations. And we disobeyed the prophets. Some of the prophets that God sent, we killed. Finally, because of our sin, God said, you're never going to keep my law. You're never going to keep my commandments. You're always going to fail. I'm going to make a new covenant with you. I'm going to make a new agreement with you. I'm going to put my law in your hearts. I'm going to forgive your sins. I'm going to give you a way for each of you to know me and walk with me. And at just the right moment, God sent the Messiah into the earth. He spoke about him in advance in the Hebrew Bible. He sent him into the earth. And just as the prophet said, he came and he laid down his life for us. You know what it's like? Maybe some terrorists come in here and they line everybody up and they say, we're going to kill every single one of you here. We're going to wipe you all out because we hate you and we hate Christianity. We hate this church. And maybe one of the pastors comes in. He hasn't done anything. But he comes in and he says to the terrorists, I'm their leader. You take me and let them go. Well, we couldn't do that for one another because all of us have sinned and all of us have broken God's commandments. God sent the Messiah into the world. God sent His Son into the world. Jesus, Yeshua. He lived a perfect, spotless life. And He said, I will take the place of all the sinners. I'll take the place of the Jewish people. I'll take the place of the nations. I'll take everybody's place. I'll die in their place. Let them go. And God offered that to our people. God offered complete forgiveness of sins to our people. And what did the bulk of them do? They said, we don't want it. When He came and taught among us, think of it. When God sends His Messiah to our people Israel, what did we do? We said, crucify Him. And when He rose from the dead
And the Jews that did follow him went and told everyone the good news. The Messiah is risen from the dead. Believe in him and your sins will be forgiven. Turn from your sins and serve God through him. They killed the apostles. They killed the Jewish messengers. You would say, I would never do that. I would never be guilty of that. But I tell you, if you do not put your faith in the Messiah tonight, you are guilty of the very same sin. When God offers you forgiveness tonight, when God offers you a way to know him tonight, when God says, through the Messiah, you can be saved, your sins can be forgiven. If you say, I don't want him, you're saying, crucify him all over again. Something's been terribly wrong. 40 years after Jesus the Messiah died and rose from the dead, our temple was destroyed and has never been rebuilt to this day. Our people have been scattered among the nations, and to this day, even though we have a homeland, we are still scattered among the nations. What sin could have been so great, so ugly, so terrible, that it has caused us to scatter around the world and wander and suffer and be rejected and be hated and be misunderstood, and even in our own homeland to be surrounded by enemies and terrorized? What sin has been so great that has caused that to happen? The rejection of the Messiah, the Son of God, and our ongoing refusal to turn back to him and believe. Something's gone wrong with our history, and instead of being blessed, we've been cursed. But listen though. God did exactly what he said he would do. God said that through the seed of Abraham, he would bless the entire world. God said that the seed of Abraham would be a light to the nations. God called Israel to declare his praises among all the nations. You see, the nations, the Gentiles, were walking in total darkness. They didn't know the God of Israel. They didn't know there was one God that made the world. They didn't have his commandments. They didn't have his laws. They were walking in darkness, and yet God fulfilled what he said in his word. God has used the Jewish people to bless the entire world and to be a light to the nations, but not the way most Jews think. What do I mean? Do you know that today, around the world, there are tens of millions, hundreds of millions of Gentiles who used to worship idols, who used to be guilty of all types of sins, of murder, of adultery, child abuse, of stealing, of lying. Some were atheists. All these people, hundreds of millions of people around the world, Gentiles, worship the God of Israel, have received forgiveness of sins, have been transformed, have become kind and loving and compassionate people, and have thrown away their idols and put their faith in the one true God. You know who it's been through? It's been through a Jew. When we were in India, one day we were going to walk over a mountain and speak to some people in a tribal village. When I say tribal village, I mean tribal. I mean people still worshiping rocks and stones. I mean villages where if you go in deep enough out into the forest and jungle, you'll meet people that still practice human sacrifice. I mean a tribal area. There was a man-eating tiger that was coming out at night and had just killed, in the recent past, had killed 8 different people. Would climb into the huts at night and just steal a little baby or child right out of the hut. Of course, they couldn't report it yet because tigers are an endangered species. It has to kill 15 people before they can report it to the government. Then they can have permission to kill it, because people in India are not endangered, but tigers are. When I say tribal, I mean a tribal area. Most of these people never seen a white man before. And we were walking out into a tribal village, and they brought a girl out that had been tormented by demons. They had brought her to the witch doctor. This is just 10 days ago we were with them, 12 days ago. They had brought her to the witch doctor. He couldn't help her. She had this big burn on her throat, an ugly open burn. Well, the witch doctor had burned her to try and give her relief. Her arms were were cut because they had tied her up and she had broken free. She hadn't eaten for about 2 weeks. Her lips were parched and dehydrated. They had brought her into the government village there, to the doctor. The doctor couldn't help her. And the father was bringing her back. And we told her there was a God that could help. We began to pray for her. And next thing, the people of the village, little by little, began to walk out. Either they heard what was happening or something. Soon we had a little crowd of 10, 15, 20 people. I began speaking to the men, and my wife began speaking to the women through translators. And my wife was speaking to one of the ladies, and the lady said to her, "You know, you're right." She said, we pray to the rocks and the stones, but they can't help us. And I began to speak to these men, and I was wearing a t-shirt. And on the back of the t-shirt was written in Hebrew, "Yeshua, Kavod Yisrael, Jesus, the glory of Israel, Or Legoyim, a light to the nations." And I told these men that there's one God that made the world, and that we've all sinned against Him and become separated from Him, and yet He's made a way that we can know Him. And He sent His Son into the world. And if we'll put our faith in Him and turn from every other god, He'll free us from our sins and give us eternal life. And I spoke with these men, and every single one wanted to pray, wanted to receive forgiveness of sins, wanted to know the one true God. And it struck me, here I've got this t-shirt written in Hebrew. I'm probably the first white person they ever saw. No question, the first Jew they ever met. And I'm telling these people that there's one God. The God of Israel is the only God, and they can know Him through Jesus the Jew. I mean, just think, I was telling them about the most influential Jewish rabbi that ever lived. That's right, Yeshua, son of Miriam, the most influential rabbi that ever lived, the righteous one who laid down His life to take our place. The one who came to India over 1900 years ago in the first place to tell the people of India about the one true God was a Jew named Thomas. One day we were going for lunch to a couple's home. They were a fairly rich couple. They actually had running water in their home, which was unusual in this area. And the husband said to us, he spoke English pretty well, he said, "My wife was so excited, she couldn't sleep all night because a Jew was coming into our home." And then he said to me, "You are the second Jew that has ever been in our home." With a big smile, he said, "The first was Jesus." Just think, there are people in the jungles of Africa that used to kill each other and eat the flesh of human beings. And now they worship one God, the God of Israel. How did it happen? Why don't they kill each other and eat each other anymore? Why do they now love each other? Because of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, the light to the nations. You see, we as Jews have gotten things all wrong. We've thought, oh, this Jesus stuff, that's just for the Gentiles, that's for the Goyim, that's for everybody else, not for us. We're supposed to keep to ourselves. I ask you a question. A bunch of religious Jews, as sincere as they might be, studying Talmud somewhere in Brooklyn, how is that being a light to the nations? How is that fulfilling the destiny to which God called us? Or Jews who've totally assimilated, and their God is money and success. How are they fulfilling the purpose for which God created them? You say, "Well, I didn't choose to be created a Jew." It doesn't matter. You're accountable to God that created you and that made you for a divine purpose. It's an amazing thing just to think for a minute. Right at this moment, this very moment, in maybe 3,000 different languages and dialects, at this moment, people are praying, worshiping, praising, adoring the one God, the God of Israel, who made the entire universe. People who were in darkness and now are walking in light, and it's through Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, and it's through His Jewish followers who took this message and went to the nations in the first place. You must reckon with the fact, first I speak to every Jew, you must reckon with the fact that you have a mission that you have an obligation, that you have a call, that you have a purpose, and it can only be fulfilled when you give up your own self-will, when you give up your own plan, when you give up your own agenda, when you come back to the God of our fathers, when you turn from the sin of rejecting His Messiah and going your own way. When you put your faith in Him, He will give you new light and you will become a blessing to the nations. And I speak to those of you who are not Jews. If you have not yet received the Messiah of Israel, you are still walking in darkness. And you will live in darkness and die in darkness. When you take your coat off, you are still the same person on the inside. When you take this physical body off at death, you are still the same person on the inside. And if you live in darkness, you will die in darkness. If you're a Jewish person and you are not under the blessing of God, but rather under His curse for rejecting His law and His Messiah, you will live under His curse and die under His curse. You say, well, how much sin does it take to keep me away from God? How much sin does it take to bring me into darkness? How much sin does it take to keep me out of the kingdom of God? Some of you listening on the radio yesterday heard a 74-year-old Jewish woman named Barbara call in. And she was offended that we said she had to put her faith in Jesus the Messiah in order to enter heaven in God's kingdom. She wanted to know, why don't we leave her alone? And she wanted to know what she had done that was so bad to keep her out of God's kingdom. Well, how many sins did Moses commit to keep him out of the promised land? One. Do you know something? If you stand before the judge and say, look, it was just one moment of anger, just one single moment of anger and rage when I couldn't take it and I took the knife and I killed him, I only killed one person. You're a murderer. You'll go to jail. It was just one night. I got drunk and I got behind the steering wheel and I drove and I ran down that mother and her baby. I only was drunk one time in my entire life. Yeah, but you've just taken two lives. See, one sin against God can keep you out of His presence. And I ask you, you're here tonight. Be honest. You don't know how much longer you have. Even if you have another 80 years, you're going to leave this world, you're going to stand before God. One sin against God. Gentlemen, one lustful thought makes you an adulterer in the sight of God and will keep you out of His presence forever. Jesus said, if you're angry with someone, if you've got hatred in your heart, you're in danger of the fire of hell. Are you loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? No, then you're damned. You say, well, then who can make it? Who can be saved? How is it possible? Exactly. It's impossible. You can't do it. Try as much as you want. Pray all the prayers you want. Go to temple or go to synagogue or go to church. Do as much as you want. Do all the acts of charity you want. It won't work. One English preacher one time went to stay in an inn and he noticed the floor was really dirty. So he started to brush it to try and clean it up, got a broom and was sweeping. The more he swept, the dirtier it got. Finally, he realized it was a dirt floor. And you may try and clean your heart. I'm telling you, you're cleaning a dirty heart with dirty hands. It won't work. You say, what do I do then? There's only one thing to do. Accept the fact that you can't save yourself. Accept the fact that you're guilty in the sight of God, Jew or Gentile. But that God in His mercy has sent His Son, the Messiah, to die for your sins, to pay for every sin you have ever committed. Even sins that only God knows about. Things that you've done that are so embarrassing, so shameful, that if I was to recite them from the pulpit here tonight, you'd run out the door. Jesus paid for every single one. And if you will turn from those sins and turn from every other god and put your faith in Him alone, you can be saved. I'm not going to speak much longer, but I want you to hear me clearly. Almighty God made this world. He made every nation, every people. And He singled out the Jewish people, not because we're better, not because we're worse, but because He loved Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He singled out our people and said, through you, I will bless the entire world and you will be blessed.
And in fact, he did what he said. I've been an eyewitness to it. I can't tell you how many people I've met from different nations. It's extraordinary. It's amazing to me. Girl from a tribal village in Malaysia. Korean businessmen. Humble farmers in Kenya. Rednecks in Louisiana. You name it. One after another after another. Come to know God. Turn from their sins. Receive eternal life through Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. God's done it, friends. He's made the Jewish people special and unique, and through the seed of Abraham blessed the entire world. But those that were also supposed to be blessed have instead been cursed because we rejected the very Messiah that He sent. God did exactly what He said. It's all supernatural. It's all beyond our understanding, and it's a fact. There's a real God. There's a real world to come. You can know there's a world to come because everything this God said in His word has come to pass, therefore the rest will come to pass. His Son is going to come back to earth. Messiah will return. He'll destroy the wicked and He will judge everyone. And there's only one way. There's only one way that you can be accepted in sight of this God. And that's to put your faith in His Son. That's to turn from your sin. You can no longer live for yourself. You can no longer do your own thing. Your own way outside of Him is death. But through Him there's mercy and there's forgiveness. And I ask you, first as a Jew, when you stand before God and He says to you, on what basis should you enter My kingdom? If you begin to say, well, I'm pretty good, or I didn't hurt anybody, or I've never killed anybody, and He begins to list one sin after another, after another, after another, and you see He's only started and there are thousands left to go, you're guilty. And then when He gets to the worst sin of all, and I offered you forgiveness, I offered you eternal life, I offered you a clean slate, My own Son took your place and you refused it. That is the greatest possible sin of all, and it will haunt you forever. If you are a non-Jewish person, if you're a Gentile, and a Gentile is not a negative term any more than Jew is a negative term. Gentile just means someone from the nation. If you're a Gentile, understand that the only light that you have, the only way that you can know God, the only way that you can be freed from your sin is through the Messiah of Israel. When you stand before God, God says, on what basis should you enter into eternal life and into light? You try and claim your own good deeds. You try and claim that you've been a seeker after truth. He says, you rejected the light of the world. Therefore, forever you'll be in darkness. The Messiah came in the world. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not live in darkness, but will have the light of life. What will you have this night? Light or darkness? Jesus, the Messiah, said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never hunger. Whoever believes in Me will never thirst. Will you find satisfaction for your soul this night, or will you hunger and thirst forever? Jesus said, by Me, if you enter in, you shall be saved. I am the door. Will you enter in that narrow door and find life, or will you be shut out forever? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. Whoever believes in Me, though he's dead, yet will he live. Will you put your faith in Him? And when you leave this body, enter His presence, and one day have your own body raised from the dead, never to die again. Or will you die in this world only to die again and suffer the penalty of eternal death? What will it be? Moses said, be sure, you know this, your sin will always find you out. But a Jewish disciple many centuries later said, through Jesus, God offers you forgiveness of sins. Will your sins be on your own head, or will they instead be on the head of Jesus, and you can be saved and forgiven? The reward of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You can work all the days of your life, and the reward you'll get is death.
or you can receive a free gift, God's purpose fulfilled through His Son, the Jewish Messiah. You can receive eternal life. I want you to all just stop now and pray with me. Just close your eyes. Open your heart for a moment before God. I want to give every single one here an opportunity to get right with God. I know most of you have come here, would consider yourself already followers of Jesus. You would already say that your sins have been forgiven, but there's some here that are not in that category. I'm going to give everyone a chance to surrender their life to the purpose of God tonight. But I first ask those of you, you have not yet received forgiveness of your sins. You have not yet turned from your life and put your faith unconditionally, not holding anything back, put your trust in God and His Son Jesus. You say, but I'm a Jew. Exactly. This is the only way that you can fulfill God's purpose for you as a Jew. The most Jewish thing you can possibly do is embrace the Jewish Messiah and become a light to the nations. You say, I'm a Gentile. Is this for me? Exactly. He came to be a light to you so that you don't have to go on in darkness. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. Light and darkness. Free gift or eternal punishment. What will it be tonight? This may be the clearest opportunity that you ever have to surrender your life to the Lord. This may be the clearest opportunity that you ever have to have your sins lifted off of you and to receive the free gift of eternal life. And just like 21 years ago I prayed, I was a heroin shooting rock drummer, went to a church to pull my friends out. But God began to soften my heart and I prayed and I asked God to forgive my sins and I put my trust in Jesus the Messiah and I've never been the same since. Let tonight be your night. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. This is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. Father, I pray that You would speak to every heart and life. Father, I pray that You would turn us, Lord. Father, I pray that You would have mercy, Lord. We have prayed for people to be saved, to be forgiven. Lord God, to fulfill that for which You have created them. May no one here be lost and perish. And here on that day, depart from me, I never knew You. Depart into everlasting fire. May none hear those words, but may every single one here turn and be saved. Thank You, Lord. Consider Your ways. Consider Your heart. Fellow Jews, don't refuse the purpose of God. Don't refuse the call of God. Don't die in rebellion. Don't die in sin. Don't die in ignorance. Turn and be saved. And become a blessing.
This is the conclusion of the tape.